Well, good morning, everybody. How lovely to see you. Not many people here, but I'm sure we'll be able to praise God just as wonderfully. Before we start the service this morning, Cathy is going to run a short film from Reach, which will be about the harvest collection.
Well, just in case that didn't quite get you, it's harvest next Sunday. We will be taking collections as we would normally, and financial donations are equally acceptable. It's the family service at the turn of service.
And so please make sure that you let Cathy know in advance which of the two services you'd prefer to go to. Our theme today is, Who Am I? Who am I? I'm going to start with some prayers. From Psalm 37, verses 5 to 6. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him and he will help you. He will make your innocence radiate like the dawn, and the justice of your cause will shine like the noonday sun. We're going to start with a favourite of mine, which is a song by Hillsong, and it's called I Am Who You Say I Am. Now, I know you can't sing along, but God gave us many ways to celebrate, and it's not just in your voice. If you wish to, stamp your feet, clap your hands, wave your arms, dance, but just enjoy it in any way that you wish, but silently. Now we're going to open with some prayers. Lord God, in a universe that seems so immense, it is easy to feel insignificant as we stand here today. Yet we know that we are precious in your sight, unique individuals, loved and blessed in so many ways. We stand in awe of the one who has created all things and dedicate this time and all our days to your service. Let us be still for a moment as we draw near to worship God. Take just a few seconds to remind yourself why we are gathered here today. Listen. God speaks even through the background noise of the world around us. Lord Jesus, we come to you this morning, not as individuals, but as your whole people, to worship you. Help us to be aware of each other as an unbroken circle stretching right round this church. May we, in spirit, hands joined, look to you, the centre of our circle, and feel your love pulsing through us to reach out to our neighbours about us. Help us to worship you today, not selfishly, nor individually, but with a deep awareness of each other. Amen. Let us say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. We're not going to have two songs back to back, and again, if you feel like waving your arms around or just showing your expression, do. The first one is Shine, Jesus, Shine from the Royal Albert Hall, And that will be followed by The Father's Song by Matt Redman. Stand if you're able, please. Let us now pray for other people. When I speak, there will be some highlighted words. And if you could speak them at the same time, please. Let us pray to the Lord, who is our refuge and stronghold, for the health and well-being of our nation, that all who are fearful and anxious may be at peace and free from worry. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. For the isolated and housebound, that we may be alert to their needs and care for them in their vulnerability. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. For our homes and families, our schools and young people, and all in any kind of need or distress. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. For a blessing on our local community, that our neighbourhoods may be places of trust and friendship, where all are known and cared for. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. We commend ourselves and all for whom we pray to the mercy and protection of God. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. In a few moments of quiet, bring forward your silent prayers, knowing that they will be heard. In case anyone needs reminding of this, here are the words of Barbara Glasson, president of the Methodist Conference. We are not people of fear. We are people of courage. We are not people who protect our own safety. We are people who protect our neighbours' safety. We are not people of greed. We are people of generosity. We are your people, God, giving and loving wherever we are, whatever it costs, for as long as it takes, wherever you call us. Amen. We're now going to have the reading, which Rosemary is coming to read for us.
Today's reading is taken from Peter 1, chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. So abandon every form of evil, deceit, hypocrisy, feelings of jealousy and slander. In the same way that nursing infants cry for milk, you must intensely crave the pure spiritual milk of God's word. For this milk will cause you to grow into maturity, fully nourished and strong for life, especially now that you have had a taste of the goodness of the Lord Jehovah and have experienced his kindness. So keep coming to him who is the living stone. Though he was rejected and discarded by men, but chosen by God and is priceless in God's sight. Come and be his living stones, who are continually being assembled into a sanctuary for God. For now you serve as holy priests, offering up spiritual sacrifices that he readily accepts through Jesus Christ. For it says in Scripture, Look, I lay a cornerstone in Zion, a chosen and priceless stone, and whoever believes in him will certainly not be disappointed. As believers, you know his great worth. Indeed, his preciousness is imparted to you. But for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected and discarded has now become the cornerstone, and the stone that makes them stumble and a rock to trip over. They keep stumbling over the message because they refuse to believe it, and this they were destined to do. But you are God's chosen treasure, priests who are kings, a spiritual nation set apart as God's devoted ones. He called you out of darkness to experience his marvellous light, and he now claims you as his very own. He did this so that you would broadcast his glorious wonders throughout the world. For at one time you were not God's people, but now you are. At one time you knew nothing of God's mercy because you hadn't received it yet, but now you are drenched with it.
Thank you, Rosemary. So who are you? Have you ever wondered who you really are? What makes you the person that you are? I'm sure most of us have, and it's interesting how people identify themselves. Just think about it. If you're meeting somebody new, how often do we describe ourselves by what we do rather than who we are? I'm someone's mum, I'm someone's dad, I'm an accountant, a teacher, a nurse, I'm at college or uni, I'm at school, I'm unemployed, I'm just married, and I'm homeless. The list of descriptors is endless. Let's talk for a moment about Jane. And there are many Janes out there. Strikingly beautiful, willowy and elegant, clearly very intelligent. Yet there is a fragility about her, something that's skittish and nervy. She admits to great loneliness and aches to find someone who will love her. Well, one wonders how someone like her could be suffering with such low self-esteem. Why doesn't she have more confidence in herself? She is hanging on to old memories of rejection that occurred in her teens. As she grew into adolescence, her lips became full, and before long, other kids were teasing her cruelly, calling her rubber lips. She was the one left out at the youth club dances, and the sense of shame never left her. Those childish taunts have continued to affect her sense of value long after adulthood began. Who remembers the ghastly experience of PE lessons at school? Well, I certainly do, and painfully so. The agony of waiting on the edge of the hockey field as the team captains choose their side, knowing full well that no one would choose me as I couldn't run or hit a ball to save my life, knowing that I would always be the one left and then put in goal. Skin all goosebumps and chapped with the icy wind, then punished by being the last girl again and again. And that's not to mention the hideous brown PE pants that we were obliged to wear. To this day, I've hated sport of all descriptions, and I still haven't forgotten that pain of rejection repeating over and over every week. Slide, please. Many, many studies have proven that how we see ourselves becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. That how we see ourselves become who we are. So, victims tend to become victims. Losers can become losers. Frightened people continue to live as frightened people. If we think that we're not creative, I call myself that, then that's how it will stay. If we think we are rubbish, then we behave like rubbish. Just like Jane, we unintentionally set ourselves up to fail. Our beliefs about ourselves determine our behaviour. As in Jane's case, these beliefs we have about ourselves often originate in childhood, but not always. A tormented wife or husband will soon believe their tormentor is correct. Of course, so many of these beliefs are completely false. Many people have a negative view of themselves because of erroneous information they received from misinformed and unauthorized sources in their lives. We need to look at ourselves from a completely different perspective. We need to hear from someone who is informed and an authorized source. We need to listen to someone that we can count on to be truthful. God is the absolute authority on who we are. Whatever our view on evolution and question of science, we are God's creation. He is the one we should be listening to. He gives us the correct information. When God, who is the ultimate authority, tells us something, we can count on it. I'm just going to read a couple of the verses that we heard earlier again. But you are God's chosen and special people. You are a group of royal priests and a holy nation. God has brought you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Now you must tell the wonderful things that he has done. The scriptures say, once you were nobody, now you are God's people. At one time, no one had pity on you. Now God has treated you with kindness. Once you were nobody. Now you are God's people. Most of us spend much of our lives searching for acceptance. We search it from our peers, our partners if we have them, our parents. We seek it from people we admire and those that we envy or aspire to be like. Our desire for acceptance influences the clothes we wear, the company we keep, the career we choose, and even the things that we say. Why are we all so driven in searching for acceptance? Well, it's very, very sensible and easy. It's because it's a basic human need. A rejected caveman wouldn't last long on his own if his tribe didn't accept him. Acceptance stimulates our brains to produce endorphins. Those are the happy hormones. It feels good. So the cycle repeats itself again and again. Man seeks acceptance. When accepted, he is flooded with happy hormones. When you feel accepted, your self-esteem is raised. When God says you are God's chosen and special people, we'd better believe it. For it is only God who has the authority to tell us who we are. Whatever our failings and flaws, God accepts us just as we are, without any caveats. He invites us to play for his team. We don't need to be our best selves. He loves and accepts us just as we are. He accepts us even if we don't place much value on ourselves. He accepts us even if, it matters not a jot how rubbish our lives might be right now, how broken and lost we might feel, because we are adored and precious in the eyes of God. Next slide, please, Kathy. Looking at things now from a different perspective, how much do you think you are worth? Not financially, of course, although I believe there is a value for that, but self-worth. How do we determine value? Well, there are two things that determine value in life. One, a value depends on how much someone is willing to pay for you. And two, value depends on who has owned that item in the past. For example, a grand piano will cost much, much more if it was previously owned by Elton John. Based on these two search criteria, how valuable are you? The scriptures say, you were bought and paid for by Christ, so you belong to him. God exchanged his only son for you, for us. Jesus died a cruel and barbaric death to save us. God is saying, I love you this much. This much. Jesus paid the ultimate price for each one of us. Does that not tell you how priceless you are? It's a difficult concept, I think, trying to comprehend the immense value Jesus places on each one of us, when in society's value systems, we are merely a dot on a graph. When to Jesus, we are the most precious treasure on earth. Next slide, please, Kathy. In our reading today, we heard not only that we are a chosen people, but indeed that we are royal priests. Well, that's just a bit daunting when you first hear it, I think. But put it this way, Peter is saying two things here. One, we are ordinary folk, and we can now speak directly to God, just as priests do. And two, we have a responsibility to minister to the needs of other people. God is saying we are to minister to or care for his people, to do his work and to tell others of the night and day difference he has made to us. We have been saved to serve others. If we are not serving, what are we saved for? Today we are talking about who we are. If you are doubting your value today, think on this one. Jesus holds you in such high esteem that he is giving you his work to do. Next slide, please, Catherine. Peter goes on to say that we are forgivable. Once you received no mercy, now you have received God's mercy. I am now saying that the three words we need to know if we are to comprehend our true value are, you are forgiven. Our sins are wiped out, gone forever, treated as though they never existed. As opposed to husband saying outside, and I hope it's not been changed because I'm going to quote it anyway. When it comes to Christ, our sins are wiped out, not rubbed in. And let me tell you about something I heard a while ago. In Great Dunmo, there is a Rolls-Royce car dealership. And we all know that a Rolls is ridiculously expensive and a huge status symbol. Those who own one are expecting nothing but the best. A gentleman had owned one and had many years of perfect service, but one day he hit a pothole and that snapped the rear axle. The car went into repair at said garage, and the owner was really surprised when next day he received his car back, all fixed, but without a bill. The car had been fixed for free, and he was really confused, so he rang the garage the next day to ask, where's my bill? And this is the reply he received. We have no record of your car being damaged, and so there is no charge. This company's commitment to excellence would not permit a flaw to be known, and so they had repaired it overnight and without charge, as if nothing had ever happened. And so it is with God's mercy. When we confess our sin, Christ forgives us in an instant and without charge, as if nothing had ever been wrong. Now, how highly valued does that make you feel? So there we have it. The four pillars of self-esteem. I am acceptable. I am valuable. I am capable. I am forgivable. Well, when we know this, and when we understand that the world's judgment actually doesn't matter at all, we know our true value. Next time you feel your sense of value dipping, remember who you are and adjust your crown, you child of God. Amen. Our final song today is a real foot stumper. Well, I shall be foot stumping anyway. And it's Hear the Call of the Kingdom. Heavenly Father, you have given us riches beyond measure. We can only return a fraction of what we owe you. But we ask, Lord, that you will bless our offerings and help us to use them wisely in your service and for your glory. Amen. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom, priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.